In our last shiur for Pachad Yitzchok, we began the first part of Maimar Dalid, which is about the Schar of Shabbos and the nature of Shabbos. We began with a statement of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And according to that statement in the Gemara in Beitzah, the Torah gave all the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael b'farhesia, with the exception of Shabbos that was given b'tzina. And the Gemara explains l'maskona that tzina dimension is referring to the matan schar of Shabbos. And we're trying to understand what is the nature of this matan schar of Shabbos b'tzina. That was one question that we raised. The rest of the introduction last time was about the concept of farhesia in general with regard to Shabbos, the concept of Asarim Yisrael is called an Eda, and Eda is Miloshen Edus, and Shabbos is, and its observance, an Edus, testifying to the effect that God created the universe. That's unique to Klal Yisrael, and that's why an individual who violates the Shabbos b'farhesia undermines the Eda and Edus element of Shabbos is called a Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula. Now we're up to the second part of the Maimer, which begins with Os Zion, with an analysis of a line, a verse, if you will, in the liturgy, in the Tefillah of Yom Shabbos in Shachris. And Chazal established the following nusach, which is very, very familiar to us. Tiferes ata liyom haminucha, oneg kara liyom haShabbos. Let's analyze in a meticulous way the phraseology here and the use of words. On the one hand, there's Tiferes, and on the other hand, there's oneg. Both are dimensions of Shabbos. Yet, with regard to Tiferes, it's Ata Liyom HaShabbos. Ata means it's a kind of a clothing, a wrapping of Shabbos. Whereas in the case of Oneg, it's Kara Liyom HaShabbos. Oneg is Kara. Tiferes is only Ata. It means that with regard to Oneg, the phrase here of the Tefillah is Kara. Kara reflects on the essence of something. They're two different systems, they're two different relationships. We know that Kara, which is a reflection on the name, reflects the essence. So there's something about the relationship between Oneg and Shabbos, which is called Kriya. That relationship indicates the essence. The essence, the name, the very essence or name of Shabbos is Oneg. There's another dimension which is Tiferes, but that's only Ata. Now, at this point, the Pachad Yitzchak quotes a statement in the name of Sorei Kodesh v'Chachmei HaEmes. He doesn't identify who these wise people are. And they play with two words in Lashon Kodesh, each that have three letters. And the three letters in these two words are the same three letters, just that these two words are organize the three, arrange the three letters in a different way. It's like, you know, we're talking about playing Scrabble here in a sense. And we're taking three letters and we're scrambling them up. You know, scramble, scrabble. And the statement of these holy and wise mystics goes to the following. Ein bara lamata minegav v'ein b'tov lamala mi'onik. You take the word nega, nun gimel, ayin. You take the word oneg, ayin, nun gimel. Both have the same letters, again, rearranged in a different order. One, namely nega, represents the worst of the worst. There's no ra, there's no evil that's below it. Nothing more catastrophic than a nega. And yet, oneg is the greatest of tov, of goodness. So if you imagine a seesaw, the two opposite poles of the seesaw are Oneg and Nega. Oneg represents the highest level of Tov, Nega the highest level, or the deepest, worst level of evil, of Ra. And all this is because, based on the Chachma of putting letters together, the divine wisdom, if you will, of putting letters in Lashon Kodesh together and arranging them to form words, the way words are formed in Lashon Kodesh is, and get this please, this is very fundamental, is a reflection of the true reality of being itself. It's not some sort of arrangement of letters for the purpose of communication that a society decides, let's get together and say that the following three letters refer to a table or to a chair or whatever it might be. No, it's not a matter of haskoma. This is a reflection of truth, of essence, of reality, of being. And therefore the word oneg, like the word nega, reflects a certain essence. And in this case, the mutual opposites of oneg and nega represent good and evil. They have a certain connection to each other, and that's why they both have the same identical three letters, because they both reflect on qualities, and on extreme qualities, on the most extreme qualities, the most extreme quality of good, which is oneg, the most extreme quality of bad, of evil, which is nega. This is called, in the phraseology of the Chachmei Tzirif Osios, this is called Yedios HaFachim Achas, meaning that you study opposites and you realize that they are sharing a basic theme, in a sense. They're coming to answer the question of extreme, of the most, if you will. And you come up with one extreme of the line, you know, and the other extreme of the line. So the two polar extremes, as we discussed before, with oneg and nega. So it comes out that according to this statement of the Chachmei HaEmes, nega is the most extreme opposite of oneg, and it's worse even than death itself. And this seems to contradict, at the face of it, a pasuk, a verse in Iyov, and our intuitive understanding of what the ultimate bad is in this world. The ultimate bad in this world is death itself. And the pasuk says in Iyov, "Ar biad ar v'chol asher le'ish yitein biad nafsho." In this pasuk, Iyov in the second chapter says that we give anything for the nefesh to survive, to live. That is more important, more precious than anything. The worst is death. And therefore, if you gave man a choice, based on this logic, between death or being alive with nega, then certainly nega would be a better option than misa. Death is final, it's ultimate. There's nothing worse than death. It is the greatest calamity that faces man. Misa, therefore, should be the worst evil, way, way below nega. And yet, according to the Chachmei HaEmes, as we saw, nega is the worst of the worst. So how do we justify, how do we reconcile the words of the Chachmei HaEmes with what we know to be true, that misa, rather nega, is the worst of the worst? We obviously must conclude that the Chachmei HaEmes are making a statement here that is pointing towards pnimius, towards a certain below the surface deep understanding of what the world is all about, what the roads of kedusha, of sanctity, are all about. And within those roads and those lines, we have oneg at one extreme and neg at the other extreme. But this is pnimius. This is something that's very deep and very profound. Because on the surface of it, certainly death is worse than nega. How can we claim, therefore, that nega is the worst? So in order to move forward with this, we're going to enter into an analysis of two periods of time, if you will. I don't mean that in the sense of chronology, but two worlds or experiences that are designated for man in the ultimate sense, and they are Trias HaMesim on the one hand and Olam Haba on the other hand. And I say by introduction that a lot of the concepts that we're going to analyze belong to higher worlds that we're not familiar with.
We're used to this world, the biological world, of life and death. But there is life after death. And not only that, there's Tchiyas HaMesim as one particular experience or world of afterlife. There's another one called the Olam HaNeshamos, or Gan Eden, or Olam Haba. We begin our analysis with a very famous statement of the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamites, Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma Lekha. The emphasis here is on Hay Alma. Although there is no reward for us to taste and quality to analyze and experience, that's only Bahai Alma in this world. This world is not the world of Schar Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah is, in that sense, through this deer, through this implication, is designated for anything but high alma, a different alma. Now, when the Gemara tells us that Schar Mitzvah is totally singularly designated for this world, what are they excluding? Where is the world of Schar Mitzvah? And the answer is they're two different worlds that are fundamentally different one from the other, and they're both included in the exception to this rule that there is no Schar in this world, because these are two different worlds that have Schar. And what are these two situations, what are these two worlds, what are these two experiences that have Schar Mitzvah? The first one is Gan Eden. Gan Eden is described by Chazal as an experience of tzaddikim, or shall we say nishmoseim shel tzaddikim is more accurate, the souls of the tzaddikim, yoshvim v'nenim miziv hashchina, misangim miziv hashchina. They have some sort of experience, the souls, which are not connected to bodies, these souls commune with God. Then there's another world. And that's the world that man will experience after the resurrection, after the Tchiyah. And that world is described by Yeshayahu HaNavi as Umala Ha'aretz Dea. And again, the word Aretz here should be emphasized, because we're not talking about a world of Gan Eden, of Neshamos. We're talking about a world here on this physical earth. And yet, it's going to be Umala Dea. We have to understand the significance of that phrase, Umala Dea. It's full of knowledge or wisdom. But the fundamental difference between these two situations, these two worlds as we call them, is that with regard to the first world, the world of Gan Eden, of Neshamos, there is no Kabbalah Schar. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. There is no Kabbalah Tainug, the experience called Oneg, is really not at all appropriate. It doesn't fit as a description of the experience of Gan Eden, of Olam Haba. Why? Because that experience of Oneg somehow is connected, or he used the word Nimsheches Liyada, that's a very difficult phrase to translate to English, but it's in some way, it's limited and connected to Tsuras Ha'adam. Okay, so the word Oneg, if you want to write this down almost like an equation, an axiomatic equation that we're going to work with, Oneg equals Tsuras Adam, meaning it's, Oneg is limited and related to Tsuras Adam, and that excludes the world of Neshamos, the world of Neshamos in Gan Eden, that sit, and as we say, V'atroseim, and the Misangim with the communion with God, that experience of the Neshama in Gan Eden is not Tsuras Adam. Because the neshama is completely disembodied, it's completely separate from the guf, and therefore it doesn't have the name Adam to it. Adam is a reflection of a hybrid of guf and neshama. When there's a connection between a chibur, between guf and nefesh, that's called Tzuras Adam. In the world of Tchiyas HaMesim, Kabbalas Tainug, the One concept, is directly related to the Tzuras Adam, Because when the pasuk says Umala Aretz Deya, we're talking about the Aretz, which is filled with Das. We're not talking about Neshamas in Gan Eden. And when we talk about man on the Aretz, we're talking about man as we know him today with the Tzuras HaAdam. It's just that he'll be full of Das. And therefore, when the Gemara says in Masechta Erevin, a very famous phrase, Hayom la sosam, u'machar lekabel scharim, this world is dedicated to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. That's called la sosam. U'machar, there's going to be a future tomorrow, which is a world of kabbalah schar mitzvahs. Now, on the one hand, if we're talking about Gan Eden, every single individual has his personal machar. His machar. It belongs to him. It's unique. We don't know when it's going to happen. And every person has his own deadline or date when he, as an neshama, if he's a tzaddik, will go into Gan Eden. That's his machar lekabel schara. But there is a machar that's common to all of Adam. That's common to all of Adam. And that's not the machar of the individual as a yachid, but rather the machar of the klal ha'adam. And that machar of the klal ha'adam, as opposed to the machar of the yachid, the machar of klal ha'adam is the machar of tchiyas ha'mesim, of tzuras ha'adam, of kabbalas tainug as schar. Again, let's emphasize. When we talk about the machar, the kabbalah schar of the yachid, there's no relationship between that machar and tzuras ha'adam. That yachid is no longer in the form of Adam. His form is totally transformed. He has shed his shell, so to speak, or he has shed his wings, whatever it is the animal sheds of tzuras ha'adam, because he's no longer connected to a guf. And any schar that will be experienced, any reward bestowed upon the machar as a yachid lekabel schar, meaning the olam ha-neshamas, is only for the neshama. However, in contrast, the machar of klala adam, that's all of mankind are waiting for one particular machar that's common to all of mankind, that's the tzuras adam of each individual. That schar is going to be meted out or bestowed upon the tzuras adam of that individual. So Reuven, when he experiences Gan Eden as the olam haneshamos, that's his machar as a yachid, which is unique to him, he will not be receiving schar to the tzuras adam because he has shed his tzuras adam. But with regard to the machar klali of all of adam, the klala adam, not to the yachid, we're talking about that moment in time, that glorious moment of tchiyas hamesim, of Humola Aretz Deya, where the word Aretz here is indication of Tzuras Adam, and there the Kabbalah Schar will be Kabbalah Schar of Tzuras Adam, and every single individual has his own Tzuras Adam within the Klal. The Machar that we're talking about now with regard to Tchiyas HaMesim is the moment after Yishenei Ofer, those who sleep in the Ofer, meaning those who have perished, Yakitsu, they will wake up and stand up out of their graves. Now, since with regard to the Prat, the individual, this is a universal rule in the mathematics of the Pachad Yitzchak, the Prat is always considered batel to the Klal. The individual loses his unique identity when he's part of the group of the universal communal element. Therefore, it comes out that the machar of Kabbalah Schar is dafka the machar of Klal Adam. And in that machar, within the context of that Kabbalah Schar, the Tzuras Adam, which is, as we said before, the unique integration of guf, of body and nefesh, that's where there'll be a Kabbalah Schar for the Tzuras Adam, in the machar of Klal Adam, in the machar of Tchiyas HaMesim. And the ultimate goal here, and the purpose in a sense of the reality of the existence of Tainug of Oneg, is really Schar Mitzvah. So when we talk about Onig in this world, we're talking not about Onig in the world before death, but rather the Onig in the this world, but after death. That's really the essential Oneg, and that Oneg is coming as Kabbalah Schar. The Schar Mitzvah will be meted out, will be experienced by each individual at the point of Tchiyas HaMeisim, and that's called Oneg. And what we want to derive from this is that even though when we speak about Gan Eden, we do mention the word Oneg, but really that's only a borrowed term. It's a melitza, he calls it. The real concept of oneg is not at all appropriate for the oneg of Gan Eden. The oneg that we're talking about, and we're going to get back now to the statement that we spoke about, the Chachmei Emes, the oneg, which is the greatest tov, is not the oneg that we'll experience in Gan Eden in the Olam HaNeshamos. That should, what you can talk about in the Olam HaNeshamos is something called Idun. Idun of Gan Eden. But the word oneg, technically, in its deeper meaning, is limited to, it applies only to the life of Tzuras HaAdam, of Chibur of Guf and Nefesh, that quality of Tzuras HaAdam that's going to exist after Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's the Schar Mitzvah of the world of Tchiyas HaMeisim that's going to be bestowed and given to all of Adam, Klala Adam. We're not talking about the Idun of the Neshamos that's very unique to each individual. It's going to happen when that individual as a Neshama goes into Gan Eden, the Olam HaNeshamos, with each individual Neshama has its own individual Machar Mishalo. We're talking about the Machar of Klala Adam, which is the Machar of Tchiyas HaMeisim, which the Kabbalah Schar of Oneg is going to be bestowed upon the Tzuras HaAdam of Chibur of Nefesh and Guf. If this be the case, we begin to understand why the greatest Tov is Oneg. And it's not, and the worst Ra is Nega, there's nothing below Nega, because we can't describe Misa here, we're talking about the Tzuras HaAdam. Within the world of the Tzuras HaAdam, when there's both Guf and Nefesh, as opposed to Le'achar Misa, when there's no Guf and Nefesh anymore, the highest level of Schar, of Tov, in the context of Guf and Nefesh, that point is called Oneg. And we're referring to a kind of life force, in a sense, that will be bestowed upon man in the Tzuras HaAdam, as we said before, of Chibur Guf and Nefesh. That Oneg is the Oneg of Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the best good that we can think of. That's the greatest good of the Tzuras HaAdam. And now we want to compare Oneg to Nega. We also limited to the world of Tzuras HaAdam. And the lowest, the Nekuda that's missing, that's lacking in Chiyus, which stands in contrast in the other polar extreme to the greatest chiyus, which is Oneg, is Nega. Nega within the world of Tzuras HaAdam is the lowest, and the lowest of on the totem pole of chiyus. It's the head there, it's the absence of chiyus. The greatest absence of chiyus within Chibur of Nefesh and Guf of Tzuras HaAdam is Nega. That's the lowest of the low. That's where the Shefa, Chiyus, reaches the lowest level, the Heder HaChiyus. But it's still within the context of man, as Tzuras HaAdam, as Chibur Guf and Nefesh. So that's why Nega and Oneg can be compared to each other, because they both exist in the same world. Nega is the Heder, the lack of Chiyus. If you pinpoint that place called Nega in the Guf HaAdam, wherever that Nega is, that's really within the Chibur and Tzuras HaAdam. That is the lowest of the low. That's the Misa, so to speak, of the lack of Chiyus, meaning the Misa of Tzuras HaAdam as Guf and Nefesh. And that's what the Pasuk means on a deeper level when it says in Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis, and this is within the context of Nega, it says, Al na tehi kemes. I believe it's a reference to Miriam, who is struck with with negatzaras, and the pasuk compares it to mess, and Chazal in general compare a mitzvah to a mess. Why is it nega itself is kemes, but not misa? Because misa is only misa is a reality that only and a terminology that can only be used to describe a post tzuras adam, meaning the world beyond tzuras adam. Tzuras adam means the world when the body is still functioning. Misa means the body is now dead. It's no longer functioning. There's no tzuras adam. So that's his language here when he says ein matzav maves miskay betok tzuras adam shel chibur guf nefesh. The word maves and its description of misa cannot in any way be applicable to the tzuras adam. The tov of oneg, on the other hand, is not relevant and not appropriate for the olma and the shamas of Gan Eden. The oneg as the good, as the ultimate tov, as the kabbalah schar, is the oneg of chibur guf nefesh tzuras adam after misa at the time of tchiyas hamesim, and within that context, the ra of chibur guf nefesh is the point that stands, as we said, as the extreme opposite of the tov. That's going to be the heder chius, the closest you can get to miso within the chibur of guf nefesh, and that's called nega. So as we live today in our lives, oneg reflects the greatest good, and as we live in our lives alive, meaning the guf is alive before miso, the worst bad, the worst evil is on the other extreme pole, is nega. And obviously the oneg that we can experience here in this world, before the world of Tchiyas HaMesim, is only some sort of a reflection, this is my own addition here, to the real, genuine quality, essential oneg of Chibur Guf HaNefesh after the resurrection, after the Tchiyah. Now, in the light of all this, these many, many different complicated and intricate introductions, we can begin perhaps to appreciate the deeper meaning of Oneg Shabbos. That's what we want to try to do now. We've established that the Machar L'Kabal Scharim splits into two. There's the Machar L'Kabal Scharim of each individual as a prat, and that refers, of course, as we said many times, to the Olam HaNeshamos. And then there's the Machar L'Kabal Scharim of man as a whole, of the human species, as a general concept, including all of man, and that's the machar of Tchiyas HaMesim. And the Pachad Yitzchok says, Shilton Puloseha Shal HaShabbos, the impact of the Shabbos, Mispashet, who it really divides up into two tributaries, and that is both categories of Lemachar, of Machar L'Kabal Scharam, both simultaneously, meaning the experience of Shabbos is going to engender a Machar L'Kabal Scharon on the one hand, that is a reflection of the world to come, the Olam HaNeshamos, what we call the Yachid, the individual, and his personal Schar, his personal Machar. And that means that in addition to that, there's a second category in which the Shabbos will enter into that territory of Machar Klali, meaning the world after Tchiyas HaMesim. So let's just go over this again. Shabbos, in a sense, it has the power to terminate the impact of Gehenim, of going to the wrong place. And the Gemara says in Brachos that Shabbos is a babu'ah, it's a reflected image of the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And here, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos refers, and here we're basing ourselves on a Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Yud Aleph, that Shabbos is mafsika es puloseho shel Gehenom. It's actually quoted, this Medrash, in the Torah Arachayim Simon Reish Sarihei. And what that means is that the impact, the Pa'ula of Shabbos, as far as the Machra Prati of each Yachid is concerned, which means the world of Neshamis, That is one achievement of Shabbos, and that's called Shabbos Mafsika Es HaGehenom, Es Pula Seshal Gehenom. But at the same time, we have already established that Oneg, in its real essential definition, is referring to the Tzuras Adam, not to the Olam HaNeshamos, but rather to the Olam HaTchiyah, the Chibur V'Nefesh. So therefore it comes out that in its source, in its root, in its origin, Oneg Shabbos is not really the reward of the mitzvah of the in the Olam HaNeshamos, because that's not really called the Oneg, as we discussed before at great length. There it's really Idun, the word Oneg is just a borrowed term. But the real genuine roots of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, the Shoresh of Shabbos, is not as a reflection of the Oneg of the Machar, I'm sorry, is only a reflection of the Oneg, or an expression of the Oneg of Machar HaKlali, Klali again referring to the Tchias HaMesim period. But again, since at the end of the day, even in a, shall we say, in a secondary sense, we can call Idun of Gan Eden as Oneg. I mean, there is a relationship here between Idun and Oneg. Then basically, we could say there's a Hispashtus concept here, meaning Shabbos in its essence is the Oneg of real Oneg, which is the Oneg of the world of Tzuras HaAdam, of Chibur Nefesh Guf. But there's a Hispashtus in which, in a sense, you know, you fill the cup up and it overflows eventually. Shabbos overflows from the Machar HaKlali and enters into the Machar HaPrati and has an impact to terminate the Gehenom experience and give or endow the Neshama with the Idun of Machar LeKabel Schar of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. And in a sense, we can now go back to square one, where we described and read carefully the nusach of the Tefillah Tiferes Ata Liyom HaMenucha Oneg Kor Liyom HaShabbos. The Tiferes of Shabbos, which is sort of external, it's not essential, it doesn't refer to the Kishkes of Shabbos. This means that all the dinim, all the terrible judgments of Gehenom, will now be removed. That's the Tiferes that surrounds the Yom Menucha of Shabbos. It means that Gehenom itself is Shoveh, so to speak. It rests or it terminates. But that's only a levush of the sanctity of Shabbos. It's only the external garments of Shabbos. That's the Tiferes. Tiferes is something, you know, the clothes that we wear are Tiferes. They're beautiful, right? You look up the Pasuk in Mordechai there at the end of the, when he wears the levush malach. That's called Tiferes. Or for example, In eating kodshim, we wear special begadim that's called tiferes. But, you know, when you talk about a body that's clothed, obviously the clothing, the levush, is external. The body needs that levush. But that's not the guf of yuvda, if you will, the primary essence of the sanctity of Shabbos. That primary essence, the guf of yuvda of Kedusha Shabbos, is limited to the reflection of Shabbos in the Olam HaTchiyah, in the Tchias HaMesim period. You know, we're talking about the mirror image of Oneg Shabbos, the Yom Shekul Shabbos. We're talking about the Olam HaTchiyah. That's really essentially what Shabbos is all about. And when we talk about the Machar of Shabbos, when we're talking about the ultimate, you know, down the line reward that we will experience as the Schar Mitzvah for Shabbos, we're not talking about the Machar HaPrati, which is, again, is only a levush, that's the Tiferes Ata, that's only the beggar that surrounds and clothes the body, as far as the pool of Shabbos. But the real, you know, goof itself, the goof of the Uvda of Kedusha Shabbos, is in the area, the territory of the Machar HaKlali of Tchias HaMesim, and therefore, when it says Karasal Shabbos Oneg, the Kriya Shem, which again is an expression of the essence of every existing entity, the essence is its name, the name of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos is Oneg. And that Oneg has a relationship to Tzuras HaAdam, which we said is Chibur Guf HaNefesh, which is not the Machar HaPrati, but rather the Machar HaKloli. Oneg Karal Yom HaShabbos. Now, again, the oneg is the guf of the uvda of Kedusha Shabbos. It's the essence. It's the guf. It's not the levush. The levush is already an added cover to glory. The levush of Shvisa Shabbos is terminating Gehenim and tasting the olam of Idunim, of Neshamas, of Gan Eden. So if we talk about the fundamental impact of Shabbos, the pu'ula of Shabbos, in terms of the Machra Prati, that's a levush, that's what we called before a spillover from the Machra Kloli, because the Machra Kloli really represents the name of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos. Teferes Ata, Liyom HaMnucha, but Teferes Ata is only a levush for the Yom HaMnucha. But if you ask me what is the Kara, what is the name of the Yom HaMnucha, that's called One Kara Liyom HaShabbos. And now we can integrate all our ideas about the nature of Shabbos, the pu'ul of Shabbos, the kedusha of Shabbos, and the schar for Shabbos into the concept of edus of Shabbos. We said, and this was our discussion last time, that Shabbos is sahadusa. It's called edus. And the emphasis here is sahadusa mikri. Mikri means we call it. It's a reflection of the name. It's a reflection of the essence. The Shabbos is kruya edus, means the edus of Shabbos is not like a teferis of Shabbos. It's not like a glorious, beautiful, majestic levush, right? But we're talking about sahadusa as mikri. Shabbos is called sahadusa. We're talking about the Torah's Eidus of Shabbos as the name of Shabbos, as the essence of Shabbos. The Oneg of Shabbos that we spoke about before is Oneg Karol Yom HaShabbos. And now we're talking about Eidus as Shabbos Sadusa Mikri. It's called Eidus. So we mean to say that there is some sort of direct relationship between the essence of Shabbos, not the Levushim of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, and both Oneg Shabbos and Eidus of Shabbos. So we want to understand, how is the Shem Eidus related to the Shem Oneg? If they both reflect on the essence, the name, the kishkis of Shabbos, there must be a relationship between the two. Right? If you have an entity called A, and B is the essence of A, C is the essence of A, then obviously there must be a relationship between B and C. And that's what we want to study now. And what we're going to suggest is the following. That amongst the Bali Musar, there is I will call it, for lack of a better word, a pitgam. There's sort of like a phrase or a principle an idiomatic phrase that really tells us something about Musar, about how we can become Ovdei Hashem and what the challenges of being Ovdei Hashem is all about. And that phrase is Ma'asenu Sosros Es Yediyosenu. In other words, we know a lot more than we actually do. We know a great deal. We have a lot of ideas, but our maisim do not reflect those ideas. Something gets lost in the middle. Basically, what the Bali Musar are telling us is that on the level of seichel, we really, in our seichel, our tfisa, our hasoga, our understanding really encompasses in a very comprehensive way, makiv, many different expressions and roads of the responsibility and the obligation of man in this world. We have a manifold, a myriad of ideas. We know how to go up and climb and ascend. And if we could only take all these ideas and have them and implement them in reality befall, then we would be surely tzaddikim gemurim. We'd be the greatest tzaddikim, perfect tzaddikim. We'd be bali ava. We'd be lovers of Hashem. We'd be bali yira. We'd be those who are endowed with fear of God. We'd be bali dveikus in Hashem. We cling to God. All this would be a reality if we were able to take all the manifold ideas, the wide, broad ideas, the comprehensive understanding of the Darchei Aliyah of how to climb the ladder of spirituality and piety, and now implement it. If we could only implement it, we'd be tzaddikim. Why aren't we tzaddikim gemurim? The only answer is because Ma'asenu is so Sidiyaseinu. It means that somewhere in the depth of our hearts, of our souls, there's some sort of barrier that blocks the light. You know, it doesn't let the light of the Idios that we have, the manifold knowledge of as we said before, the Darchei Aliyah, to allow those Idios to express themselves in Maisa, in the world of action, to come to fruition from potential to actualize them. But we can't actualize them. The Shoresh is there, but you know, it somehow the ideals don't go down to the Shoresh of Maisa. They remain somehow, I don't know, we'll call it intellectual or abstract understanding. You know, I can spit back, you know, many, many principles of the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva, of the Ramchal and his Mrs. Sharon, but that doesn't mean that I'm a tzaddik. Ma'asenu sosos is yidiyosenu. And what it really means is what the Maral says, which he repeats many, many times. We'll quote the Maral from the Sefer, I believe it's. I think it's in the Gevurah Hashem, I'm not sure. And that is that Eidus is are the same three letters of Das. And we're going to try to understand the connection here between Das and Eidus. Amongst the many, many pa'ulos and the actions, the behavior patterns that we have that contradict our yedios, there is, however, one pa'ula that, if we engage in this, I mean, whoever does engage in Eidus in this pa'ula, by definition, the very value or the very description, the quality of this pa'ula is in the fact that it is bad bebad, is a complete, perfect reflection of our idea. Whatever we have in our mind, that's what we speak out. That's called Eidus. If there's any discrepancy between the truth that we have in our mind and the way we express ourselves in the actual testimony, when we witness something and we testify, if there's any discrepancy between what we know to be true and what we say to be true, that completely undermines the action and its definition. It completely disqualifies Eidus. The pu'ul of Eidus, by definition, by its very name and its very essence and its reliability, is the fact that the aid, the witness, is merely expressing through his haggadah, through his testimony, exactly, meticulously, meduyak, exactly based on the best of his knowledge. That's what's unique and weighty about Eidus, about Haggadah's Eidus. In a sense, Haggadah's Eidus is the only pa'ula that we could say that is the exception to the entire framework that we set up in the name of the Bali Musar of the stira, the terrible contradiction between the idea and the pa'ula. In terms of, you know, building words in Lashon Kodesh, we take the Ayin Dalid Tuf of Eidus. Again, we're leaving out the Vav, it's a chaser instead of a molly, but the Eidus, really in Lashon Kodesh, is the same as Das. And the Das means that this unobstructed Das, it's a Das that expresses itself in Pa'ula without any machson, without any blockage, and now the Das is free to realize itself, actualize itself in Maisa, without any blockage. So when we get back to the statement of pu'ulosenu sosos es yidiyosenu, which is basically antithetical to the Adam Ha'oved, meaning the Adam of Havodah, of serving Hashem, is who's called the Adam of Hayom La'sosam U'machar L'kabel Scharam, which again was the phrase that we emphasized from the Gemara in Erevin. That Adam, the Adam Oved of Machal Kabal Scharam, his Machal Kabal Scharam belongs to the world of Umalar Etz Dea, the world of Chibur of Nisham and Guf. And what is the deeper meaning now that we can understand and grasp of Umalar Etz Dea, describing the Olam of Tchia, the Lamachal Kabal Scharam? That's Dea of Eidus, that's Dea in which there's total control, unlimited, of Das. Umala aretz das. Mala aretz das means mala, full of das, without any machzon, without anything blocking it, without anything preventing the das from controlling and holding on to the reins and dominating the world of masa. That's what the Adam HaOved experiences in the Lamachar LeKabel Scharam, an experience of total das, where the Dios are not in any way inhibited or any barriers are placed in their way. And now we can begin to understand the connection between Eidus in Shabbos, as the name of the essence of Shabbos, because we said Shabbos Kruya, Sadusa Kruya, and the concept of Oneg Shabbos, Vikarasal Shabbos Oneg. Because as we said before, the name of Shabbos as Oneg is a reference to the Machar HaKloli, is related to that Shefa, that the Chiyus of the resurrection of the period of Tchia, of Machar HaKloli, that's going to be an Oneg that will be experienced, will be received in the Tzuris Adam of Chibur Guf and Nefesh at the time of Tchias HaMesim. And in that Adam, in that Tzuris Adam of Machar, of the, as we said, the Machar Kloli, there's no stira whatsoever between Das and Pa'ula, between the Das and the Meisim, because here it's Umola or it's Dea. And therefore, if we ask which kind of Pa'ula, of all the Pa'ulas that we are capable of comes closest to the Tzuris Adam of Macha LeKabel Scharim, the Macha Kloli, meaning the Tzuris Adam that's completely excluded, is Mufka from this contradiction between Das and Pa'ula, that is going to be the Pa'ula of Eidus. And therefore, we can begin to understand, and it's very beautiful, that the sanctity of Shabbos is a reflection of the Tzuris Adam, in parentheses, of Macha LeKabel Scharim, of Chibur Adam Agufa, the Tzuris HaAdam, which is excluded, which is Mufka, from any contradiction between Das and Pa'ula. That is the sanctity of Eidus, because what is Eidus? Eidus is Das. And Das reigns supreme. The Karasa Shabbos Oneg and Shabbos Hadusa Mikri. Both of those statements are identical, because if you ask me, what is the Pa'ula that reflects the Kedusha of Shabbos? It's the Oneg. And what is Oneg? Oneg means the Machar LeKabel Scharim of the Adam HaKloli, the Tzuris HaAdam of a Machar, which is Umolar, it's Deah, which is pure Das. That's what Eidus is all about, pure Das, without any Machzom, without any barrier that prevents that Das from realizing itself in the Olam HaMasa. And that's the beauty of Umolar, it's Deah. We're going to experience this kind of unbelievable control and dominion and reigning of the Das without any stira from in our Pa'ulas, that consistency which is really Eidus, because that's the one Pa'ula which man is consistent in all the Pa'ulas of this world, the one that reflects Das in the sense that Das reigns supreme without any hitches, glitches, and barriers. That is Eidus, because what is Eidus? Eidus is Das. Eidus means a total hatama, an absolute equation between what's in the mind, what's in the Das, and what's in the Maisa. The Haggadah Eidus is pure, it's unadulterated, it's true, it's a meticulous expression of the Das. And perhaps now we can swing back to the Maimer in the Gemara in Beitza of Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, that Shabbos itself is a mitzvah whose matan schara was given bitzina. And what's the concept of tzina over here? And the answer is that since the schara of Shabbos belongs to the world of Tchias HaMesim, it reflects itself in that Tzuris Adam HaKloli of Chibur B'Nefesh V'Adam of Omolar Etz Deah, if that's what Shabbos is all about, then we can describe the quality of Shabbos as tzina. Why is that so? Because you take a look at the Rambam, for example, at the end of the Mishneh Torah, in the very last chapter, Perek Yud Beis Milchus Malachim, and the Rambam there writes that with all of Torah, we have a mitzvah to study the Torah in great detail. As the Gemara tells the Kiddushin, Vishinantam Levanecha, Shemishalcha Adam Al Tagami Yudvechem, Mechudadim Eficha, we should review it over and over again. It's Mechudadim Eficha, we have a total control over the knowledge of Torah. We're going to go into great detail, into great depth. However, the Rambam says with regard to the Akhris HaYamim, the time period beyond this world. Al yarech adam bedigduka midrasha amur binyan zeh. We don't delve into, you know, the normal rules that apply to Talmud Torah are suspended. Eliyamin bechlal adavar. And the Rambam goes on and on, but he says you have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim, but don't go into detail and start, analyzing and being mefalpil in all those midrashim. That's beyond our understanding. But what we get from this Rambam is a very fascinating principle, a conclusion that's pretty drastic. That although in general in Kol HaTorah Kula, his askus b'divrei Torah means to go into great detail, depth, and reveal layer upon layer. With regard to this askus of divrei Torah binyanim of achris hayamim, there's a whole new approach that's radically different than everything we know in general about his askus b'divrei Torah. In divrei Torah, again, to reemphasize, is this askus obligates us to be mavara, to go clear, to be malabein, to clarify every single detail. If a person asks you, you don't wait and you don't hesitate, you give them the answer on the spot. It's mechudad meficha. That's in general. But when we get to the Torah and the Divrei Torah regarding the subject of achris hayamim, everything changes. All we have is the klalius hadavar. All we have is, you know, to know and believe in the general concept. But it's not appropriate for a person to be osek b'chakiros, to go into detail, to analysis, to be malabim the pratim. This we don't have. And what it means is that with regard to all the mitzvahs of Torah, we have a rule of al tegamgem and mechudadim v'ficha. That's this askus in detail. But there is a limit. And the red line beyond which we don't cross is with the divrei Torah of machar lekabel scharam. If we're talking about ayom lasosam, that's divrei Torah, mitzvos, how to do them, how to perform them, lasosam. That's one thing. And there this askus is, as we said before, bepilpul, bedigduk, and this askus be omek, and with libun askus, essentially all the prot. But when it comes to the askus of not hayom lasosam, but rather mochar lekabel scharam, and we're talking about the mochar akloli, then there's a whole different story. He writes, the barishona, in the first case, it's mechudon. But in the second case, meaning machal kabel scharam, there the mahalach is lo yarech b'dikdukim b'midrashim. This is the limit of the divrei Torah of be'iyun, as we call it. That's the yom lasosam. But when we get to the divrei Torah of machal kabel scharam, of the achris hayomim, we've passed over a certain gvul, a certain boundary line. We've crossed from one country to the other. And here in the new country, there is a suspension of the dikdukim and the midrashos and the libun and the mechudadim and the pilpulim. It's lo yarech bidikdukim ub midrashos. And now we can swing back to the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Mitzvah of Onik Shabbos fits under two different categories. It's a very unique mitzvah of all mitzvahs in the Torah. Because on the one hand, this mitzvah has within it a machal kabel scharam. But at the same time, it's be'itzumo, in its essence, hayom latzosa. I mean, we're commanded and mandated to be involved and dedicated to Onik Shabbos. But in a sense, muvla, included in this mitzvah, inherent in it, and perhaps in a concealed way, but underlying, underneath the surface of this mitzvah as hayom lasol, so we have the machal kabel scharam. Now, the Onik Shabbos of this world, in which we have to engage and we have to learn about that mitzvah implemented of in hayom lasol, that is an oneg which is only a babua, shall we say? It's a reflection of the machra kloli of machal kabel scharam. So if we focused on the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, insofar as it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, then of course we have to shoot for or aspire to mechudadim, to learn it in depth and know all the details. But if we're talking about the oneg element, the dimension of oneg as divrei Torah of achris hayomim, well, here we have a whole different category. And this is what Rav Shimon bar Yochai wants to emphasize to us. Be'emes, he says, mitzad mitzvahs onik Shabbos, he ro'u, ha'yoroi shekam ha'divrei Torah di'achris ha'yomim yiskalu v'klol d'orai sekula. V'gam behem yiskai mahalik shal mechudodin. In other words, since there is an intricate relationship between the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos of Hayom La'Soson and the mitzvah and the schar mitzvah of Onik Shabbos as Machal Kabel Scharim, that both connected intricately, therefore the both of them should be sort of, you know, the greater principle, meaning they should both be included under the chudadim of Klal Doraisa. But here comes from Shimon bar Yochai, and he says the following, that Shabbos is nitna b'tzina, meaning the Torah is not going to reveal to us the matan schar. What does that mean? Every mitzvah and its matan schar is mitzvah, but the unique concept of formulated by Rav Shimon bar Yochai that Shabbos is nitna b'tzina, and we don't understand, we don't grasp this matan schar, that's because Shabbos, although afal bishem before mamish eina Shabbos pochos megula me'asher shar mitzvahs, even though Shabbos itself is a subject in Allah that's as much of a meat and potatoes, you know, subject to analysis as any other part of the Torah. And before mamish, we really have to get into mechudadim with regard to Shabbos. He says, "Ein limtzoi tzel shar mitzvah shum gilui kidugmaso asher dugmaso yichasal on mitzvah Shabbos." What the Pachad Yitzchok is emphasizing here is that although this a concept of schar mitzvah that applies to every single mitzvah, and schar mitzvah belongs to the olam of achris hayomim, where we don't really have a gilu, everything is bitzina, but nevertheless, that limitation is not related to the gufa mitzvah. You know, let's say I perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, and there's a certain particular schar mitzvah for wearing tzitzis, and I can't really delve into the midrashim that will teach me and reveal to me the light of those, of, you know, what is the nature of that schar mitzvah. So there's also a tzina element with regard to the schar mitzvah of tzitzis or any other mitzvah. But nevertheless, that doesn't in any shape or form limit the mitzvah itself, the gufa mitzvah, and my understanding of the mitzvah, my obligation to delve into the mitzvah. It's not like there's a chunk of this mitzvah, of the gufa mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah that's being concealed. But in the case of Shabbos, where the essence of Shabbos in terms of Onik Shabbos has two dimensions, two sides of a coin, meaning the schar mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is some, and the nature of Onik Shabbos in its very essence belongs to two worlds. It belongs to this revealed world, and it belongs to the world of Lemachar Lekabel Schar, and it's not just Hayom La'Sosam, then there's a certain element of hatzneah, of tznius, with regard to Shabbos, because since the schar mitzvah of Shabbos is not revealed, and that's relevant to the gufa shel mitzvah, in the case of Onik Shabbos, it's not relevant to the gufa shel mitzvah in other mitzvahs, then in other mitzvahs there's no dimension, a unique dimension of hatzneah, but in the case of Onik Shabbos, that mitzvah has a unique dimension of hatzneah because there's a stira, I'm sorry, not a stira, but a, let me just read to you his language. He writes, "Minias gilu yaschar shal mitzvah Onik Shabbos hareze soteres hareze zu hastoras poneh shal gufa mitzvah." There's something about the gufa mitzvah of Shabbos that's being concealed here. Our hands are tied and we're being enjoined from and circumscribed from revealing the schar mitzvah. We can't delve into the schar mitzvah of owning Shabbos. And that means that we're missing something about the gufa mitzvah. The gufa mitzvah itself is related directly to the schar mitzvah. And therefore, when we try to describe this mania, you know, this inhibition that prevents us from delving into and understanding on a deeper level the nature of the schar of Onik Shabbos, we can describe that as a hatzneah kind of action, a hatzneah kind of relationship, and it's very, very unique to Shabbos. And that's what we mean when we understand Rav Shimon bar Yochai that this, the the nature of Shabbos and its Schar Shabbos is Atznei Lechas, because part of the very essence of Oneg Shabbos is the Oneg of the world of Tchia, of the Schar, of Lamachar, of Klali, which is the Hebrew Gufa Nefesh, etc., etc., the Moli Haaretz Dea, and the Eidus of Shabbos and the Oneg of Shabbos is in some sense a reflected image that corresponds to the Eda of Umol Aretz Dea, and by being cut off in a sense from understanding and elaborating and delving into the deeper meanings, the concealed meanings of the concept of Dea and Eidus that's inherent in the Oneg experience of Lemacha L'Kabel Scharam, the Oneg that we said that belongs uniquely and exclusively to the Tzuras HaAdam HaKloli of Chibur Guf and Nefesh. That Oneg, because again, Oneg doesn't belong to the Olam HaNeshamas, that's really Idun, but the Oneg experience, which is the experience of absolute Tov, the best Tov in that Chibur relationship between, is the Moli Aretz Dea, is the Das, unbridled and unbarriered Das, the Das of Umol Aretz Dea. That's the experience of Shabbos. All this is inherent in the Oneg of Shabbos and the mitzvah thereof of Oneg Shabbos, and that's concealed because that's limited in how much we can study it. And therefore, Rav Shimon bar Yochai describes the Schar Shabbos as something that's given Bitzinah. All right, we'll stop here.